Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. This time we're talking free agency as the Bengals get underway to make some moves next week. The NFL calendar, it never stops. We just finished up with the Combine in Indianapolis, got some great stuff from Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin. If you missed those two episodes, be sure to check it out on the Bengals Beat Podcast Library. I was able to get a one-on-one with both Duke Tobin and Zach Taylor and got some great insight about what they thought about the season, who they are interested in bringing back in free agency, and a lot more. So be sure to check those out if you miss them. But this week, we're talking specifically about Bengals free agency needs. And to help me talk about those Bengals free agency needs, some potential targets for this team, and some early draft talk, I brought on NFL Network analyst D'Angelo Hall, who joined Bengals Beat Podcast, and it was a great interview. So without further ado, here is my conversation with D'Angelo Hall. Well, with free agency starting in just a week, I didn't think there was anybody better to have on the Bengals Beat Podcast than NFL Network analyst and my friend, D'Angelo Hall, who is joining me via Zoom. First of all, D'Angelo, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. So I guess let's just start with every week you report on what's going on in the NFL. Was there a bigger surprise to you this season than the Cincinnati Bengals and what they were able to do?
No, not at all, Kelsey. I mean, goodness. You know, it was times that you saw the Bengals during the course of the season that you were like, look, I will put the Cincinnati Bengals up against anybody. Mm-hmm. But to think this young football team could consistently do it in the playoffs, right, where you're going to get team's best shot. And, I mean, those dudes came to play. And I think we saw a little bit of that, right, at the end of the season when they took on the great Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City Chiefs offense. And, you know, you thought like, wow, if those guys can stand toe to toe with them, they can stand toe to toe with anybody in the NFL. And so, you know, just to watch Joe Burrow mature and just show how comfortable he is in this league. I mean, it's been impressive to watch as a dude who played the game and went against young quarterbacks. I mean, it is just something special about Joe Burrow. And I sing his praises because I wasn't a guy who was always a Joe Burrow fan. You know, coming out of LSU, I felt like, oh, man, you know, LSU had all of these dudes and they had all these receivers. And
he probably kept your receipts.
Yeah, I just thought they had so much talent that it was easy for Joe Burrow to go out there and be successful. But it was when he was playing Washington and it was actually the game that he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. You know, I just watched him change plays and put guys in the right position. And I mean, he just looked so comfortable that I said, man, this dude is different. And I didn't know how he'd be coming back from that injury, but he didn't miss a beat. I mean, he didn't miss a beat. And it's just the confidence he plays with to get knocked down the way that he does sometimes. And I mean, you never see it on his face. And, you know, I try to teach that even as a parent, as a football coach, you know, just never let nobody see you sweat. And I mean, he just has that quiet confidence that, you know, look at me, I'm just rambling on and on about him because I mean, it's so much superlatives that I can, you know, that I can call out on Joe Burrow. That's really won me over and has me saying that this dude would definitely be back in many, many Super Bowls, and Bengals fans should be hyped because, you know, me being a Washington guy, you guys just heard the quarterback I got.
Yeah.
It could be a whole lot worse.
Right. Well, I have so much I want to talk to you about, but to put in perspective for those who don't quite know your resume and how you got to where you are on NFL Network, you were a star defensive back in the league for how many years?
14.
14?
Yeah, 14.
Wow. So I bring that up because you're the type of person I want to ask this question to. When you look at the Bengals wide receivers, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, who would you, if you were playing, least want to go up against?
I think they all three pose something different, right? You know, Ja'Marr Chase reminds me of a little bit bigger Steve Smith Sr. And I mean, me and that dude had some battles when I was in Atlanta.
A lot of trash talking.
And I respect him so much. And so, you know, that's a dude that I'm like, man, you know, any given Sunday, I probably don't want to see him. And then you think about T. Higgins and you're like, dude, you know, this dude's 6'4" and can run routes, snap you down, you know, when he's breaking you down in those routes. You know, tremendous ball skills. So he's a dude that I'm like, man, it's certain times I don't want to see him either. And I mean, Tyler Boyd is just, I mean, he's a dude I admire for a long time, watching him just work on Cincinnati teams that weren't that great. And so, you know, to be a part of an offense now that can put up points with the best of them, you know, I think all three of those guys kind of pose something different. Mm-hmm. So just to not hurt anybody's feelings, I'm going to say any given Sunday, I don't want to see neither one of those three dudes, man. They are a true three-headed monster down there in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I think that's the obvious. I mean, it's the obvious challenge that all the defensive coordinators that the Bengals faced had. It was, if you're going to take away Ja'Marr Chase, is it going to be a T. Higgins game? And then if you try and sell out to stop them both on the outside, you have Tyler Boyd, who, in my opinion, I think is the best slot wide receiver in the NFL. And it was such a shame. He never drops a ball. I've been covering the Bengals. I covered every single game this season. I don't think I ever saw Tyler Boyd drop a ball. And then in the Super Bowl, he had that costly drop, and it was just a bummer because, you know, for a player who literally never drops the ball, for it to come at that moment. But there was a ton of different things that happened in that game that you and I both watched. Obviously, the biggest takeaway from that game was the Bengals' inability to protect Joe Burrow. And then where did you have an opinion on if you thought that Joe Mixon should have been in the game, or do you want to chime in on it, on that discussion? Because that was
I was just thinking, Kelsey, while you were naming all of those receivers, we did not talk about, you know, CJ Uzomah, who I think is a beast at the tight end position, as a part of this offense. But then we didn't talk about the dude that runs the rock. And I mean, Joe Mixon to me is a stud. I mean, I remember when he came out, we actually drafted, I think, Samaje Perine, who you guys have as well, down in Washington. So I was able to play with him. But I mean, I can remember just always, you know, loving Joe Mixon's game from afar, because the dude was super athletic, had home run hitting speed, but power, was a bigger back, could catch it out the backfield with finesse. You can involve him into the passing game too. And so when you talk about this Bengals offense, you know, yes, it's those three guys that we just mentioned, those three receivers, but it's CJ Uzomah and the matchup nightmares that he provides, and, you know, in certain situations, it's having Joe Mixon, is being able to turn to Samaje, you know, when Joe's tired or when he's, you know, ran the ball four or five times in a row, and him make a big play like he did in the Super Bowl. I mean, I just think this team has been put together very well. And so, you know, to me, it's not one thing that these guys do. I think it's kind of all of those things. And it's Zach Taylor's ability to kind of, you know, like you said, exploit the matchup. If you're going to do this, we're going to do this. It's not necessarily always putting your eggs in one basket and saying, we have to win this way. It's being versatile and being able to, you know, kind of win a variety of different ways.
Yeah. So when we got back from the Super Bowl, we had a press conference with Zach Taylor, and of the main things that were asked from the reporter standpoint was, what's the plan to protect Joe Burrow better? Yeah. He was sacked 70 times, which was the third most in NFL history, which is just like, when you say it out loud, it's a lot. And I'm sure they have their plans, and later in this podcast, we'll get into that. But then it was, you know, that third and one play before the fourth and one play where Aaron Donald sacked Joe Burrow to win the game, was the Bengals didn't have Joe Mixon in. And Zach Taylor's response as to why is because he said, for the most part, Samaje has been really good in pass protection and has been in there most often on third down. But the Bengals' biggest challenge to Mixon heading into this year was, how does he become a three down back? So it'll be interesting to see if what happened in the Super Bowl kind of changes anything in what the Bengals do moving forward, because for the most part, this offense is coming back in full. Most CJ Uzomah, the guy that you just mentioned, and you said his name right, so I'm sure he'd be very happy with you, is scheduled to be a free agent next week. Other than that, Riley Reiff, who started a couple games for them at right tackle, is the only other major starter on the offensive line. Most of the free agents that we're going to talk about now are on the defensive side of the ball. So just give me your general thoughts on what you thought about the Bengals defense in the way they, I thought they were one of the most improved units in the NFL, because heading into this year, there was a lot of talk about what's going to happen with this defense. They went out and they signed Trey Hendrickson, Mike Hilton, and Chidobe Awuzie and Larry Ogunjobi. And I know you can talk about some of those guys in specifics, but what did you think about the job that Lou Anarumo and the Bengals did on defense this year?
I mean, I think Lou did a great job. You know, when you think about the way they were able to win football games, I mean, you know, they got playmakers at every level of that defense. And that's what it takes in the NFL to be successful. You got to have guys who can stop the run. But to me, you got to have guys that can harass the quarterback, right? Make him uncomfortable. And I mean, the addition of Trey Hendrickson along with Sam Hubbard on the other side and Larry Ogunjobi getting sacks and BJ Hill. I mean, it was just a constant mirage of different guys coming up with big plays. And so, you know, that defense did what I thought, you know, they had to do to win games. You know, I think with every team, you can kind of find holes. And I think, you know, if I looked at this kind of, you know, the run that the Bengals had and how successful they were, if it was a couple of things, if offensively you said, all right, the offensive line, we know we have to get better there. I think it's no doubt when you look at this defense, you think, man, if we could get better at the cornerback position, right, we'd probably be one of the top five defenses in the National Football League, because you have two safeties in Von Bell and, you know, and Jesse Bates, that if they're able to get, you know, Jesse locked up long term, I mean, these are two of the best safeties in the league. To me, when you talk about Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer in Buffalo, and the way both of those guys were all pros, I see the same thing when I watch Von Bell and Jesse Bates play. I mean, they just make play after play. And at times it's almost a lot for them to have to do, because sometimes you do see some of those glaring weaknesses that, you know, in the secondary. You know, Washington paid, oh my goodness, what's the corner?
William Jackson.
William Jackson, a lot of money from Cincinnati. And I never thought William Jackson was an elite corner. Yeah. But to me, he was an upgrade over the guys that Cincy played with. And so I think you are kind of still missing that impact guy, you know, at the cornerback position, just at times that you need to lean on, you know, when you're playing some of these elite offenses with, you know, with dynamic receivers on the outside. But I mean, you know, it's nothing short. When you have an offense that's as powerful and explosive as the Bengals offense is, it's going to be times that teams are going to throw the ball a whole lot because they're down. And so the stats aren't always going to look great, you know, but the Cincinnati Bengals defense did what they had to do to win games. And I think it is sustainable. I think, you know, when you think about what they're going to be able to do with some of this free agency money, you know, it's a whole lot of talent in the draft, especially on the defensive side of the football. Some really, really fast dudes that, you know, as we've seen in this league, man, speed kills. And so if you can get more speed on your football team, you have a chance to, you know, to continue to grow and be a dynamic, you know, a dynamic bunch, whether that's offensively or defensively.
Okay. Well, you led me into what I wanted to ask you about, actually three topics while you were talking, but so let's stay on the cornerbacks. You just said it, in my opinion, outside of the offensive line, and where do you start on the offensive line? Because pretty much the only lock that the Bengals have on their starting offensive line coming back is Jonah Williams at left tackle. They need a left guard. Trey Hopkins is getting up there in age in terms of their center, and he pretty much wasn't really able to practice a whole lot this year because he was coming back from an ACL. So they could definitely look to upgrade. They also save like $6 million in cap space if they cut him. Then right, and you know this, the right side of the Bengals offensive line was the problem. That's when Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd just feasted on that right side of the offensive line in the Super Bowl. So they need a right guard and a right tackle because Riley Reiff is up for free agency. So that's a lot that you're trying to accomplish in free agency, and where they're picking in the draft, it makes it difficult because when you're picking at 31, you're not going to get a top three or top five offensive lineman at that point. Mm-hmm. So you take into consideration, that's the biggest need. Then, as you mentioned, I think cornerback is a 1B to biggest need for this team, because The stats don't tell the story, but the Bengals were a middle of the road pass defense for the most part last year. They were able to escape and make up for it, obviously, with the pressure they were able to apply. And then in the postseason, they were able to get turnovers, and that really eliminated it. But when you saw what guys like Cooper Kupp, and I know I'm naming some of the best receivers in the league, but that's how the league is going. They struggled against Davante Adams. He had over 200 receiving yards when he played against the Bengals. They're missing that other cornerback to play on the opposite of Chidobe Awuzie, who was very good in his first year with the Bengals, but they could definitely upgrade over Eli Apple. I know the Bengals were happy with what Eli Apple did in the sense that he wasn't expected to be the starter. Trey Waynes was. And then he struggled to stay healthy and basically got his spot taken. When you look at some of the free agent cornerbacks, J.C. Jackson is a player that has been linked to the Bengals. These top cornerbacks are going to cost a lot of money. And the Bengals only have so much. The Bengals only have so much.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, what is more important at this time, to spend most of it on the offensive line and hope that you can maybe draft a corner? Or do you think getting a player like J.C. Jackson or one of those top corners that's going to hit the market would be a better use of their money?
Yeah, I mean, J.C. Jackson is going to garner a whole lot of money. He's going to garner left tackle type money. When you think about kind of where the market is at that cornerback position, I guess it really matters what that front office kind of has on their board. Like who do they rank higher? You know, do they rank higher guys in the draft offensively or defensively at the cornerback position? But to me, it's just the value, right? It's understanding. You know, obviously, Joe Burrow is the franchise, and right. We have to protect him. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of twofold. You protect him, you protect this offense. So to me, the number one priority is to protect Joe Burrow and not let him get hit as much as he's gotten hit in the past. You've already shown the ability to go out there with guys you didn't think were all world beaters, at the cornerback position and still be successful. And so, I think at the present time, your secondary needs can kind of play a little bit of a back seat, just because you do have two dynamic safeties that a lot of times does cover up, a lot of the things that the cornerbacks get wrong. And like I said, that offensive line, you want to protect Joe Burrow at all costs. You can't continue, to get this kid hit. That's what I ultimately believe, that and just philosophy differences that ended up getting Russell Wilson out of Seattle. He was one of those guys too who got hit a whole lot. Through the course of his career in Seattle. A lot of that had to play into Russ saying, hey, look, I want to throw the ball a little bit more. Y'all ain't protecting me. I'm out of here. And so, yes, you want to keep, quarterbacks are like your wives. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, I think, but it's interesting because the Bengals aren't typically a franchise that sells out, spends money just to spend money. And so they're not going to go into free agency spending a lot on just a guard and a center and a right tackle just to check the box.
With the Bengals too, Kelsey, a lot of it is going to be, it's going to be culture, right? Yeah. Like for a free agent, it's going to be understanding that, damn, this team ain't far off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe I could be the extra piece. Mm-hmm. It's going to be some veteran guys. It's not going to be guys that you're going to be able to lock in for 4 or 5 year deals. And I think that's what people on the outside are kind of seeing with Cincinnati. Like, wow, I think they got there a year or two earlier than we thought they were. Yep. Man, they closer than we think, which they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be some veteran corners that come up because, salary cap situations. And Stephon Gilmore might not necessarily go run to the highest bidder. Maybe he looks at his team and he says, man, I like them young receivers. We can get busy in practice. We can work on our craft. Like, man, another piece here or there on his defense. And so now you start kind of changing the narrative to where it's not Cincinnati. The only reason we're going there is because we're going to get paid the most money. Now we're going to Cincinnati because they have a chance to win every year or win the division. Bam, then we got playoff games, and then it's anybody's ball game. And so I think a lot of too what is going to, entice some of these guys in Cincinnati, it's really understanding what they got going down there, what they got brewing, and to really watch that team up close and personal through that Super Bowl run, and everybody got to look at, you know, at all of these, you know, players and unique personalities, you know, it really brought a lot of attention to an organization that I know myself, I kind of had written them out. Like I said, I thought they were a couple years away. I did love Joe Burrow. I love, you know, some of the individual talent, but I didn't think the offensive line was good enough. I didn't think the secondary was good enough. I didn't think that they'd be able to get the kind of pressure they were with, you know, the timely turnovers. We kept talking about turnovers. You know, turnovers are one metric when you talk about NFL and measuring success from one year to the next. That's one thing that you can't duplicate. You can't say this quarterback's going to see this the same way and throw it in that window, and we're going to have an opportunity. And so they know they have to get better. They know they can't rely on just being able to cause turnovers, because sometimes they're just fluke luck turnovers. Sometimes they're defensively doing the right thing and, you know, and catching the offense. But, you know, I've learned over the last 20 years in the NFL that turnovers are one metric that no matter what you do the year before, you are not guaranteed to get those same amount of turnovers in the bunches and the situations you got them the year prior.
Well, that's what was interesting about the Bengals postseason run, is they hadn't really taken the ball away for much of the season, including Jesse Bates, who said this was probably the most professionally and personally hard season he has ever had, because he went into the season thinking he was going to get his extension done. After the Bengals signed Sam Hubbard to a long-term deal, he thought he was next. And then it didn't happen. And he said, honestly, it weighed on him. His play wasn't what he expected. And it just started to kind of weigh on him, to the point he said he was really close to being that isolated guy. And it's his teammates really helped, DJ Reader, guys like that really helped him kind of get through the season. And then the postseason happened and the ball just kept finding Jesse, and they were able to take the ball away, and it really ended up changing the game the Chiefs game. I mean, that was a perfect example of, you were talking about how Vaughn and Jesse are two of the best in the game. They took the ball away and never gave it back to Kansas City in overtime. So yeah, that is a perfect example of, you just don't know when they're going to happen and you can't rely on it, but you have to be able to go into these games against these AFC teams on defense knowing you're going to be able to hold your own in pass coverage. So speaking of pass coverage, one other topic I wanted to ask you about, it's not a Bengals topic, but this is a Cincinnati sports podcast, and you were there with him this past weekend. A fan favorite in the city of Cincinnati is, of course, Sauce Gardner. Can I get your thoughts on what you think about Sauce? I know you're probably early on in the evaluation period, but you did tweet about him, and you said that your kids know who Sauce is. So what do you think about Sauce, the job he did for the Bearcats, and what you think about his NFL future?
I mean, I thought he was a great college football player.
No touchdowns.
Dude made plays. You know, at first, when I first saw him, I was kind of questioning, man, can he really run? Mm-hmm. And I think he proved a lot of people, you know, wrong, that he could run. You know, I'm excited to see him. You know, Sauce is one of those intriguing corners because he hasn't really played elite competition, right? When you think about Derek Stingley Jr. and, you know, every day in practice having to go against Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, and then in the SEC, you know, facing all of those guys at Alabama and all over the SEC, you kind of know that this guy's battle tested. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing about the Cincinnati Bearcats is their level of competition wasn't quite up there. But when you
remind them that they knew it every week when they couldn't get in the top four.
I know. When you watch Sauce move, though, when you watch his body language, how he plays the game, all the tools, you know, that you really need to be a great corner in this league. I mean, dude has them all. And so, like I told him, I'm like, bro, I'm excited to watch these dudes go out here and compete, because, I mean, he is a long physical corner who loves to press, can get in and out of his grip, in and out of his breaks great. You know, he has elite quickness, elite ball skills. And now it's just about the mental. You know, can you mentally put it all together? Can you go out there and compete? Can you go out there against another dude who is just as gifted and talented as you and beat him a little bit playing chess, you know, really understand, you know, the game of football, understanding what your defenses are asking you to do. You know, I told all these guys, man, y'all got the potential to be Hall of Fame football players, but, you know, how do you approach it? Do you put the same kind of time into it that the guy beside you does? And so, you know, it's going to be up to these guys, but I'm excited to watch them go out there and play. I can't wait to figure out, you know, now is draft time coming up next. So I'm excited to see where all these guys kind of end up, see what football teams they go to. Because a lot of times with, you know, with success goes, you know, it kind of falls on where you end up. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of organization or what defense or scheme is able to kind of, you know, nurture you to be that great football player. Sometimes, you know, I think players don't fully understand that. Organizations either.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But since we're talking about draft and those DBs, and we talked about the Bengals' need, is there anyone right now that you think could be a second round option for the Bengals at corner?
I mean, at what y'all pick 31 at 31. Yeah. I mean, so much other stuff happens. And that's what I think. Even with that pick comes really the thought process. That's what I said earlier. It kind of depends how your board is ranked, right? Like, what players do you really have? Do you go with just best available? Do you go with, you know, best fit for your scheme? Do you go with need? You know, 30 other things are going to happen in that draft before you ultimately going to get a decision and say, hey, this is who I want. Right. And so, you know, I think you have to be flexible. Mm-hmm. I think you got to definitely do a lot of homework, you know, because you're going to be able to get a damn good player at 31. It's just depending how do you rank them and how do you think they'll fit, you know, fit into the chemistry of your football team. You know, but I'm one of those guys that believes, you know, every pick in this draft has an opportunity to go out and help your team win games. And, you know, we think it's not a great draft because there aren't three or four quarterbacks that we're saying is going to be top five picks. But I mean, when you watch the talent and just the speed, like I said, it's not many dudes in the league that's running under 4.4 and to watch the combine and see how many dudes ran that fast. It's just about, man, can we coach him up and can we put him in the right scheme that allows him some confidence? And then with that confidence comes, man, I can go out here and I can make plays and I can, you know, I can be a star in this league.
Yeah. Watching some of those wide receivers run, it just seems like every year they just get faster and faster.
That's impressive. Always the case. I'm like, dude, well, they get bigger, stronger, and faster.
No, you're so right. I have one more question for you. I want to end our conversation with this, which I know it might be a very loaded question right now.
All right.
You mentioned earlier in the podcast, Russell Wilson got up and out of Seattle. They couldn't protect him. They had their window. They won a Super Bowl. They were able to get that done, but it just didn't for the last couple of years look like things were trending upwards in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Then obviously you look at the other quarterbacks in the AFC, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, Justin Herbert with the Chargers, Josh Allen with the Bills, loaded at the quarterback position, including Cincinnati now with Joe Burrow. When you look at next year, and I know you might change your mind with free agency and the draft coming up, where are you putting the Bengals in their trajectory for the next couple of years with all of those quarterbacks? Where do you think they rank? Would you put them at the top of your list? What do you think about the Bengals and their trajectory with Burrow and all of those quarterbacks now in the AFC?
I mean, to just say they're at the top of the list, I think would be a little unfair to teams like Kansas City that have done it repeatedly. You know, I think even Josh Allen, I think, goes in that conversation when you watch how that game ended. Lamar Jackson's probably in that conversation. It's probably three or four teams, and I know I'm probably leaving some people out. I think you have to put Denver on that list because Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. I think you probably have to put all of those guys kind of in one category. And I think the Bengals are kind of right in that same category, too. But probably at the bottom, just from a standpoint of, man, the Chiefs have done it 4 years in a row. But, you know, I think it's any man's race. I think that's what's so dope. Even with last season, like, nobody thought the Bengals had a chance in hell. And for them to be the team representing the AFC, like, we all thought Patrick Mahomes. We all, the ones who didn't think Patrick Mahomes, thought Josh Allen. Right. And so to watch Joe Burrow and that young Cincinnati football team be where they were, I mean, it was impressive. I mean, we were at the network, we were calling them the Cinderella team. And so, and I don't think they're the Cinderella team. I think that they're a team that when you watch how that team is built and put together, and I know they got some free agents that they have to get back, but I mean, heck, I'd love to be working for that football team and helping, you know, try to figure out, all right, how do we keep this thing going? Because, you know, you got a dude at quarterback and, you know, you got a whole lot of other dudes on that roster that can play ball. Now it's just about putting together some of those glue guys and some of those other guys in that locker room that can help take your team to the next level. So, I mean, I think they're absolutely on that list, Kelsey. Like, you know, like I said, it's tough to put them in the top three or four because there are so many other proven and not just proven from a standpoint of can you do it? Because I do think Joe Burrow can do it. Hell, he's proven that. But consistent,
right?
Consistency, you know, consistent provers. And that's guys like Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. You know, I think Josh Allen's name's in that conversation. I think Lamar Jackson starting to put himself in that conversation. But like I said, so is Joe Burrow. When you see this division, I mean, you're like, man, if the Steelers don't figure it out, they can fall far behind very quickly because nobody's in that division is waiting.
No. And at this point, would you put the Bengals at the top of the AFC North when you're doing your season preview based off of the quarterback situation or just what you saw the Bengals do? Or are you still a Lamar Jackson, Ravens believer?
Right now, Kelsey, you try to make me say it. Right now, yes, I will. But depending how the draft goes, depending how free agency goes, I think Baltimore, you know, can continue to climb up that list. Just because of the way Baltimore plays, you know, just how physical of a brand of football. It's like the 49ers on the NFC, right? We're going to run the football. You have to stop us. Uh-huh. And when you have an electric guy like, you know, like Lamar Jackson, who has the football every single play offensively, crazy things can happen. And so if they continue to put guys around them, continue to develop them, you know, I think the Ravens will still be kind of right there. But you know, when you look at the Browns, you believe in Baker Mayfield over Joe Burrow? No, you don't. Pittsburgh, like I said, Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins, no. Yeah. So, you know, absolutely. I think it's kind of 1A and 1B, but the Bengals are 1A right now. I mean, they did just represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, so we'll give it to them.
Okay.
Well, way too early AFC North prediction.
Well, hopefully I can get you back on the podcast during training camp or something. And we'll see if you change your mind. But since this is our free agency preview episode, I want to ask you this before we close out. Of CJ Uzama, Larry Ogan, Joby, BJ Hill, Eli Apple, Riley Reiffer, five players off the top of my head. I could be forgetting one right now. But of those five players, who do you think is the one player? Oh, Jesse Bates, but of course they tagged him. So they're going to give themselves a couple months to try and work things out. And the hope there is that they're able to get him on a long-term deal. But he is going to be in Cincinnati regardless because of the tag. Of all of those players, who is the player that you think the Bengals need to focus most on that they need to make sure is back in Cincinnati next year?
You know what? I don't know if it's one guy on that list. You know, not having not met a lot of these guys personally, I don't know the type of energy they bring in that locker room, but just the ability that those guys bring. I think each one of those guys you name, you know, they do something different that this team needed. Like they needed Larry Ogunjobi to get that inside pressure from the defensive tackle position earlier in the season to kind of get guys going. They needed BJ Hill to kind of do the same thing. CJ Uzama, like we mentioned, you know, when you do want to double Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, you know, it's him and Tyler Boyd in the middle of that in the middle of those defenses that are getting open. And so, you know, like I said, all of those guys brought something different to the table. And so if they aren't there, you know, this team's going to be a different football team. And it's up to the Bengals to kind of see how they can kind of, you know, interweave some of these new personalities and new, you know, abilities. You know, athletically on the football field with some of the guys that they are going to have to lose, because that was always a difficult part about playing football for so long. You wanted every moment to be so special and you wanted to cherish it because you always understood, that the room was going to never be the same. Like right. the team would never be the same. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I say the room because even more directly than the team, it was those position rooms right. that you loved every single individual, and every single dude brought something different every day to practice and brought something different every day to the game and to the atmosphere of just being on that football team. So, you know, you laugh, but you kind of, you know, you're a little bit sad because you remember all of those great memories you had. And that's what's going to be difficult about this Bengals team. They aren't going to be able to be the same group of guys. CJ Uzomah, a guy we all love and guys, people in that Cincinnati community love. He might not be a part of that team next year just because the way the numbers break down and the way these coaches kind of feel, or they might say, all right, CJ's a guy we can't be without, but maybe Larry's a guy who's not there anymore. And so, you know, I think what's cool about this football team, all of those guys you mentioned, you know, when you look at every other potential replacement,
yeah.
You know, you feel great about the core guys that you do have in that locker room. I'm not saying those guys aren't, but you feel great about the guys you do have. And if you can continue to keep some of those guys that you do love, you try to do that. And if you can't, you know, it's the NFL, you know, it's we always joke that it meant not for long.
Yeah.
Because you had to go in there and get it and make your impressions and relationships as best you could.
Yeah. And it's going to be very interesting to see how things unfold here in the next week in Cincinnati with those guys in particular. And just from my perspective, I'm so glad you talked about Larry Ogunjobi the way that you did, because I didn't know much about Larry Ogunjobi in my first season covering the Bengals. And obviously he wasn't here. He was with the Browns. One of the most underrated players in the NFL. Every time there was a Bengal around an opposing quarterback, it seemed like it was always Larry. And it was such a bummer that he had the injury at the end of the season, so he couldn't get the postseason run and the recognition that he deserves. But I think him and CJ Uzomah are two of the most underrated players in terms of what they actually do from a production standpoint from their team, that I think will be critical for the Bengals to re-sign. But we'll see who they're able to get back, who they acquire, and then hopefully we'll be able to get you back on in training camp to get your thoughts on the draft, free agency, and we'll see if the Bengals are still 1A in the division in your book. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the Bengals Beat podcast, D'Angelo. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings, and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download USA Today Sports Plus from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus, fan harder. Lots to unpack there, but great stuff from D'Angelo, as expected. Well, next week, I'll be back. Same time, we'll have a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast available, and we'll probably at that point be talking about some players that the Bengals decided to add in free agency as it all gets underway on Monday. Thanks for tuning in.